Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Vibe to the soundtrack of your soul. With every beat and lyric, we'll move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. This episode of The Authentic Life with KL is brought to you by Break the Silence, a nonprofit created using music as a platform to raise awareness for mental health, suicide prevention, and recovery of all kinds, offering hope and starting the hard conversations to bring communities together. Hey guys, it's Kitty. I have with me a guitarist and singer of the band Like a Storm, which I love Like a Storm, and the founder of Amplify Mental Health, Matt Brooks. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Kitty, and thank you for saying that you love my band. You have to say that. It's the great thing about me doing interviews is people have to say that they like us.
I can truly say that I really do have some of the songs on the playlist before even any of this stuff started with my passion, because music really has been this big healing. And so I have several very specific songs that I can talk about forever and ever, but Ordinary is one of my Ordinary and Southern Skies, and Love the Way You Hate Me, just because I like that song.
Well, but thank you very much.
Yeah, and the new one of the newer ones is Phoenix. So yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So see.
Okay. So you passed the test. You've successfully named all Like Storm songs.
Yeah, I really do. I'm not just saying that. I actually was like, you know, the music was really impactful for me. So I know that there has to be some story and depth, you know, behind and for other people as well. So, but have you been?
Great. Thank you. I'm in Vegas at the moment, and I've just been recording drums, and after this, I'll be recording guitars. So for someone who loves music, I'm having a pretty good day.
Good,
and in the middle,
good.
I get to talk to you about music and mental health, which are two of my big passions. So it's been a good day. Good day. It's Tuesday here and Wednesday in New Zealand. So I've been going back and forth between the States and New Zealand a little bit, where I'm from. So I always have to double check literally what day it is. Because in New Zealand, we're one day ahead.
Okay.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm having a good Tuesday, but I nearly said I'm having a good Wednesday because I've been talking to my mates.
Is your family all in New Zealand?
Yeah. So my mom and dad and all my extended family are there. Pretty much all my friends that I grew up with are there. And we were just back there, and I was literally just talking to my mate before. Oh. So we were talking about, you know, how's your Wednesday going?
So it's fresh on your
then
mind.
Then I look at my computer right now and I'm like, oh, it's Tuesday. So I'm having a good Tuesday. But for anyone back home, I'm having a great Wednesday too.
I love that. So I actually was going to touch on, I heard you have some new music that's going to be coming out. How is all of that going, and when can we expect to have some new music out?
We will have it out soon. I mean, the great thing about the way that we're making music now, we've always had a very hands-on approach. So everything since our second album, which is A Week in the Fire, that's where Love the Way You Hate Me comes from. Every record since then, we've produced ourselves. So that album, A Week in the Fire, we decided to self-produce, and that was the one. A lot of people think that that's our first album, but we had an album previous to that. So we're very hands-on with our music, which is, you can see from my day today, means that we're quite busy, but it also means that we have a lot of control over the timeline of when things are released. So it's really exciting from our point of view to be starting to see these songs, this new batch of songs come together. It's always an interesting process when you're making records, and every band goes through this and every band says this. You know, which is like, yeah, man, this album we're working on, like, this is some of the best stuff we've ever done. And the thing is, like, you truly believe it, because you are in a place of being inspired and you do love the music that you're working on. And I say that because I genuinely feel that way about the music that we're making. So the song that I've been tracking today, I feel like I'm kind of living inside a bubble of this particular song because I've been recording drums for it. After our interview today, I will record guitars for it, and then I also sing all the lead vocals on it. So it's just kind of worked out that way. But needless to say, I feel like this song is kind of like an extension of who I am.
I love that. Do you think that because there is an emotional connection for so many artists with their music, that when it really is, I guess, exemplifying who you are and where you're at or your journey, that that gives you just a closer connection with that song?
I absolutely believe that. And in fact, this song that we're working on right now, I won't give away too many of the details yet, but this is the song that I wrote. This is actually the perfect song for me to be talking about with you, because right around the time that I sort of started my own lifestyle transformation, and we can get into more of that in the interview, I started writing this song. And what's interesting about it is that it's now coming out on this record. But it was almost kind of like writing a letter to my future self.
I love
So
that.
what was very cool is when I went back and we started the process of finishing it, I was reading through the lyrics and I was like, holy shit. It's almost like I wrote myself a check back then. And now,
I love that.
it's like you got a couple of years to fucking cash this thing. Like you gotta make good on this. So it's kind of surreal time actually. And literally that's the song I've been doing today. So
I love
very
that.
personal song for me.
That's lots of synchronicity there. I love that. I love that. It's my favorite part, I think, of just the human journey, is when one people can get to a point to where they've gone through some healing and they make themselves a little bit vulnerable, to kind of be open to sharing their story. Because I believe everybody's healing starts with someone else telling a story. And so, like, you sharing your story is going to be medicine for someone else's ailments, on it. And so it's just my favorite part of the journey is to see those butterfly moments that transform and those synchronicities that show up. So I love it. It's my favorite thing.
Wow, I'm happy to be part of that butterfly effect, and I feel the same way. I mean, a lot of the turning points for me over the last few years have been directly inspired by someone else or something that happens. And I completely agree with you. Like, the more that we can be transparent about some of these challenges, then the more we kind of pave the way for other people to feel comfortable doing the same. So it's like the opposite of a cycle of everyone having to hold everything in. And that's why I'm just stoked to be here with you today.
No, I appreciate it. I have found that just kind of talking to the different fans and artists, right? Just people really, that everybody has the same struggles. I've talked to some musicians that actually are kind of more hesitant to talk about the mental health aspect within just the music industry because they've had people mock them or say different things about them while they're on their journey. And it's the same thing that happens. Just with all humans across the board, but we feel so alone all the time within our journeys. And that's why it's like it's so important just to kind of share because it does make someone feel not alone. And if it can save a life, then I'm all about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the great irony of mental health, isn't it? Is that we're all going through some version of that, and yet we all feel like we're the only one. So it's very easy to be stuck in that loop of feeling like you're just going through this yourself. And as they say, the great myth about mental health is that everyone else is fine. So I'm struggling and everyone else is great. And we all feel that way. And so then if you don't have conversations like this, then it's very easy to buy into that narrative. And I would say that just in my own experience, the music business and the entertainment business in general is it's a particularly seductive trap for people who want to wear a mask. So
Yeah.
people who want to present a front, part of it is because you have to, you have to show up every night and perform. Doesn't matter if you wake out feeling like $1 million or if you wake out feeling like life has kicked you in the ass, you still have to show up and play. You still have to do interviews. You still have to do photo shoots. All these things. People do depend on you. And there is an element of that that's sort of admirable. But I would say one of the things that happens is that it feeds into that need that we kind of all have to present a good front. And that's been my experience of the music business and the entertainment business. And it's not to say that there aren't like people telling you that this is what you have to do.
Sure.
And that's the part that's like seductive, is because you feel like you're choosing it. And yet, if everyone is starting to make the same sorts of choices, then that shows you that it's actually like a cultural thing. And so, yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, and I think it is hard too, especially with anyone that is in the light, not like the light, like go to the light, but like in the light, and people are seeing you all the time. Is you do have people that depend on you and that expect certain things of you, but it's kind of that catch 22. They expect all these things because that is what is always given. But then, so it's kind of like this vicious circle that's there. So I agree. I'm going to read something that I read in one of your bios. So it says that you committed yourself to a radical lifestyle change, leaving your toxic past behind, inspired to help others do the same, and to share your message and methods with the rock world. Can you tell me what kind of things inspired that? Because there's always this beautifully a tragic type story usually that happens to where you're like, all right, the switch is flipped, and from here on out, it's something's changed. What was that for you?
Well, I think you described it very well. I mean, there is a sort of a poetic tragedy, and there always is. It certainly was for me, because otherwise you find that you kind of hold on in that old way of doing things until you literally can't. And that's when you have to change. And for me, it was a combination of things stacking up. I was in quite an unhealthy place, physically and mentally. But prior to the pandemic, I was sort of holding it together. That's how I would best describe it. I wasn't doing well, but I was sort of surviving. And what happened is, we were on tour all the time, and when you're not on tour, you're making records, and you're just—I mean, artists are textbook workaholics, So, on the one hand, it's like, oh, it's amazing. This is my art. This is who I am. But it's not actually who you are. It's just part of who you are, and it can become very appealing to just funnel your whole self into this one thing, and ignore some of the other things that are going on. And so I was starting to live my life more and more that way. So we were touring all the time. I wasn't really in a healthy place mentally. I wasn't in a healthy place physically. I was using alcohol more and more to try and it wasn't even like a party time thing. I've really never been that kind of guy. It was like a coping mechanism, like textbook coping mechanism. You use this thing to get you from A to B. And then what you realize pretty quickly is that when you're on tour, the day is made up of A's to B's. So you go from A to B, B to C, C to D. There's almost no personal space, and there's almost no downtime. So if you roll into a tour and you're already exhausted physically and you're already not in a great place mentally, you're going to see some challenges. And I was finding different ways to get through the day, but they were not good ways. And so what happened to me is, as we rolled into 2020 and the COVID pandemic hit, then everything shut down. We happened to be at home in New Zealand, which initially, because we were actually on tour. And then we had an American tour and a European tour. and the Japanese tour, and then back to America. So our schedule was packed. And at the time, that was what I thought I wanted because, it's like an analogy I use is it's like being a pirate. It's like you've been at sea for so long, you have no idea how to function on the land. So you kind of keep looking for the next tour because you don't want to go back to what other people consider as normal life. That's not normal for you. Your life is out on the road. But the problem is the road's not a particularly healthy place if you're not looking after yourself. And in fact, it's a very easy place to not look after yourself. So as COVID hit, all our touring got initially postponed, then canceled. Massive financial repercussions for musicians all around the world, including us. So you have this life that you've grown very accustomed to, like a very unique existence of being on tour. As I say, like it's like being a pirate. All of a sudden, that's gone, and now you are on the land. You have no concept of, I mean, people were talking openly about would touring ever happen again? Because we're talking about there hadn't been a pandemic like that since the Spanish flu 100 years ago. And people are like, well, we've never seen anything like this. So who knows what life? So not only are you looking at all your current and future plans are gone, but there people are talking about how this thing that has been your life and your livelihood might actually be going away forever.
Right. And that's
And
only thing you know.
that's the only thing you know. You add that to, my personal life was not in a great place. My mental health was not in a great place. I've always been a very sort of sensitive, creative person. That's, of course, what led me to making music in the first place. But I've also had, a tendency to feel anxious, a tendency to feel depressed, like all of those things that are very much the classical artist. I've always just kind of been that way. And if I look after myself, then they're not a problem. But if I don't look after myself, then they become an increasingly bigger and bigger problem. And they can start to sort of take over your life. And what I found is as a pirate now back on the land, with everything fucking collapsing around me, the only thing that I could find to kind of get me through was alcohol. And it's funny because I've told this story quite a few times, but every time I tell it, it like pushes a button emotionally, which is how I know that this is, like this is that catalyst, that sort of tragedy you were talking about. And essentially it was like it's like a car crash. It's like a car crash happening in slow motion. So it wasn't like, everything was happening and then everything stopped and then I just imploded. It was like a slow motion implosion, probably more in keeping with my personality type. So you just start to like withdraw more and more from the people around you. And part of the reason that I talk about masks is that I would always say, like when we shot music videos, I love making music. I don't particularly love making music videos. I'm quite camera shy. Actually, I always have been. So I like the finished result, but I don't like being like someone having a camera up in my face. It just makes me feel very uncomfortable. So I would always joke and say like, oh, I'd make a shitty actor, because I don't love the camera. Like, whether the camera loves me or not, that's a different story, but I don't like being filmed. It's just a kind of a personality quirk. But the thing is, the irony there is that I actually am quite a good actor. And where I was getting quite good at acting was, I wouldn't say that I was succeeding in acting like my life was going well. I just think I was doing a better job of not showing the degree to which it was becoming dysfunctional. So I kind of seemed like someone who was like you're just kind of grinding along, waiting for your life
Right.
to start up again. I mean, there are friends, like some of my best friends from back home. We've had conversations about that time in my life, and they had no fucking idea what I was about. And it's my fault. Like, I could have told them. But again, it's an interesting, it's kind of, I mean, I studied psychology before I dropped out to join the band, and I've always been fascinated by people and their behavior, and that includes myself.
Yeah.
One of the things I've always found really interesting is the degree to which, like, the degree to which we sort of start playing roles, and it makes sense on stage. It's like that's your stage persona. But if it's a stage persona, then it should really stay on stage.
Right.
So why are we acting, why are we wearing a mask when we're not on stage? Like, who is that person? And what I found is that I was sort of putting on this mask of, you know, everything's kind of going all right. And yeah, I'm just sort of like, you know, I'm not really too worried about what's happening. And, but actually, like behind the scenes, my life was in fucking complete disrepair. And the thing that I was using to sort of dull that chaos, for lack of a better word, was alcohol. And I didn't even particularly enjoy drinking. It was, and that was like the worst thing about it. I wasn't like someone who had, you know, he's always out at the bar closing it down. He's the life of the party. Like I can be a fun guy to be around, but I'm not that guy. It was more like I'm just fucking using this thing like a crutch. And of course, what I mean, I knew it at the time, but I wasn't really in a place that I felt that I could do anything about it, at least not to begin with. Of course, the thing about alcohol is it's a depressant. So if you are already feeling depressed and your coping mechanism is a depressant, then you are just going down and down and down a cycle, like a spiral, sorry, of increasing your own depression and losing touch with how you should feel, even just on a biochemical level. And therefore, you start losing touch with reality. And so I found that I was really going down that spiral. And I think for me, the sort of the hitting of the wall came from, it was like a period of time, but there's a particular memory that I have that I always remember. And it was when I was driving home from a friend's place after, it was like New Year's Day. So I mean, how'd that for your, like your symbolism? Driving back from like a New Year's party that I'd been at with my friends. It was the next day. I wasn't driving drunk. It was the next day,
Thank you.
but I was thinking about, you know, seeing my friends and all of their wives and their kids and their established lives. Classic example of, I think I'm imploding and everyone else is doing great, right? So that's that whole, the myth of mental health. I completely bought into that. And I just remember thinking like, there was a point where I felt like I'd been kind of wrestling with, you know, like I was kind of wrestling with where my life was going. I've always had kind of a, you know, I've always had a little bit of that kind of fiery, fuck the world type personality. And in a way, that was kind of keeping me going because that was like, there's that kind of inner fight, you know? And I just remember driving back. And all of a sudden, that the fight was gone, and it just made like perfect sense. As insane as it sounds to say, it made perfect sense at that point in time that their lives were going to continue, and they would have, you know, a future and all of these things, and that like I, it sounds crazy to say, but that I just had no future. Like I could not, I like it was the first and probably, I'm probably lucky enough to say it's probably the only time in my life that I've ever truly felt like hopeless, like truly hopeless. And the interesting thing about it is that what scared me the most is that I felt like I was accepting it. So it was like I'd been fighting this thing, whether you call it, you could call it, addiction or alcoholism or depression or mental health issues, real life issues, because there was, it wasn't all in my head. My life was incredibly challenging at that time. So I'd been kind of fighting it. I hadn't been winning, but at least I'd been fucking showing up. And when I was driving back from my friend's place, I just had this horrible moment of like resignation. And that scared the shit out of me because that is not a that's not a normal feeling for me. I tend to be kind of difficult, when it comes to that. It hasn't always been an asset, actually, in my personality. It has been a thing that, it, as much as I'm a nice guy, has probably made me hard to work with at times, hard to be in a relationship with. But I've always had that kind of underlying fire, and it was just fucking gone. And worse than that, I had basically just completely accepted, like this is a fucking dead end. And I just remember driving home back to my parents' place and thinking, like, is this actually like, is this it? Like, is this actually how this fucking thing is gonna happen?
Out of everything that you've done, is this how it ends?
And I just started this thought, thank God, started this thought of like that this can't be me thinking clearly. I had that little voice, like, this can't be me thinking clearly, because there's no way that I would be driving home after seeing my friends who I love. A lot of these guys I've grown up with, they're like family to me. Then I'm driving home to see my actual family. So I'm like incredibly blessed in a lot of ways. There's no way that me driving home thinking my life is over, that can't be real. And so I started this sort of slow process in the back of my mind of, what the fuck do I have to do to start seeing my life for what it actually is? And that's a big part of why I'm so interested in mental health, is because the distortion of reality is terrifying. Like, so you can have real life problems. I'm definitely not trying to say that people who feel depressed or anxious or who suffer with any mental health issues, I'm not saying that they don't have problems. I'm just saying that the perspective on them gets lost. And I absolutely felt like that was what was happening to me. And so, of course, for me, my coping mechanism is a depressant. So if I'm using this depressant all the time, why the hell would I feel anything other than depressed? And so I started to realize that the first thing that had to go was alcohol. And to be honest, I would love to say, I went home and I poured everything down the sink and, look how fucking fit I am now. But it wasn't like that at all. It took me months and months, and it took me four failed attempts of being like, yeah, that's it. I don't need this thing anymore. I see what it's doing to me. Of course, I've been in the music business for a while. I have literally seen it kill people that I care about. So it wasn't like, oh my God, I can't believe alcohol is bad. It was more like I just realized what it was doing to me personally. But even so, my dependence on it was such that it took like multiple times for me to truly give it up. And that's not something that I used to talk about. So even when I started talking about how I don't drink anymore, I wouldn't go into that detail. And I realized in a lot of ways I was kind of shortchanging people because then it just looks like the classic myth again. It looks like, oh wow, well, just,
I love
good
now
for
I
him.
love that you're saying that. I love that because then that's what people think, that they think that's how they need to get it. And if they don't get it the first time, then they suck really bad because everybody else can do it the first time. It's
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's exactly why I started saying this. And someone said to me once, in fact, it was one of my friends from back home. This is what I think the thing that's kind of interesting, and you must have seen this a lot in your life. The thing I find fascinating is that, so I started speaking out more about mental health and sobriety and all these things. In my mind, I'm sort of talking to, the rock world, other musicians, fans of the music that I love, people in this niche. And what's interesting to me is I don't even think about the fact that my friends or family are seeing those posts. And I went back home to visit, and I caught up with a bunch of different friends at the end of the night. To me, this is like a great, if I was ever looking for a reason to be willing to sort of, as you say, open up and talk about this stuff. We had this great night hanging out with my friends and their kids, and we've all been friends since, for ages, and it was like amazing. Anyway, I give them a hug at the end of the night, and as I'm leaving, one of my friends says to me, like as she gives me a hug, she's like, "Thank you so much for saying that it took you that many times to quit drinking. We're trying, and it's just nice to know that you can get there." And I thought, I didn't even fucking think that that person had seen me say that. It wasn't like I had a conversation with them and I Tony Robbins them and like, wow, I'm fixing their life. It's like I didn't I to, in my mind, these are like two separate ways. And of course, they're not. Everybody pays attention to these things. So I was like, okay, that's the fucking compass point. I can give the glossed over version. Life got really tough for musicians during the pandemic, and I had a really hard time, and I started drinking too much, and then I realized I was drinking too much, so then I stopped, and now I'm big into health and fitness. But what is relatable about that? Just sounds like someone who flicked a switch like a fucking robot. And in fact, it was the exact opposite. It was an incredibly painful time of my life. And it was an incredibly difficult thing to give up, even once I knew that it was a huge part of the problem. And that's something that I think a lot of people can relate to, and especially, when we allow ourselves to be honest. It doesn't have to be alcohol. Sometimes it's a person. It can be a relationship, but you can know that something is destroying you, and you still fucking go back to it. And that's why I talk about this stuff, So I appreciate you asking, and that was my tragedy. Basically, it got to the point where I couldn't imagine having a future. I had no problem with that. I had completely, accepted that my life was over. And it just, I thankfully, part of me just could not reconcile that. I just could not fucking handle that. And so that's what started this journey where I did stop drinking, but it sure as hell wasn't easy. Started getting really into things that would be coping mechanisms that would make me feel good. So, fitness and the food that I'm putting in my body, and meditation and mindfulness. And then I'd always been interested in psychology. So, that to me was just kind of a natural part of it. And all of those things combined is what led me to creating Amplify.
No, I love that. I love that. And I love the whole psychology thing. like just everything about it as well, because I've dove deep into what they call shadow work and things like that, and kind of all those things. And I think one of the things that we just don't talk about enough too is it is actually painful to let go of that part of yourself, even though it's really bad for you. You know, it's like you have to release that part of you, and it's kind of like that, I don't know, like you're pulling a band-aid and it's ripping and it's tearing, and then finally it snaps, and that's the only way that you can do it. And I have several people who are addicts or have struggled with several different things. And it's like letting go of that part of you is comfortable. It's what you know. It's all you know. It's what you thought it's what you thought it was going to be. And so you have to go through like a mourning process as well, of like almost like a funeral. This is what I thought my life was going to be. This is what I thought was going to happen. And then suddenly it's all gone. What do you do? And most people are like, it's fine. No, experience it. And it's a whole different thing. Like when you're really going through the depths of hell within your own soul, it's a whole different story. And it's painful, but it's so beautiful when you start coming out on the other side.
Yeah, it is.
You just have to get
It is.
there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I
Yeah.
think the way I love the way that you frame that. I mean, I also think it's like the version. I mean, I can only speak from my own experience, of course, but the version of you who ends up in that situation, it's like a fucking biblical test, because it's like the version of you in that situation is the least equipped version of you to handle that challenge. There's like a sick irony to it. There certainly was with me. I mean, I've spent my whole life being super motivated, super ambitious. Like, I knew what I wanted to do. Now, that doesn't mean that everything I did was a success, but it meant like I fucking knew what I wanted to do, and I wasn't afraid to take risks to get it, and all of these things. And then I find myself in this position where I can't even give up the thing that is like literally killing me. And so you're right. If you're on the outside, and I've been on that side of it too. You know,
Yeah.
part of you is like, man, I don't get it. Why do you keep going back to that thing? Why do you keep going back to that person? Why do you keep going back to that life?
Yeah.
But for the person in that, it's like you're not in a place to process life normal. So that's like, again, where I feel like it's so helpful to see. It's like a breadcrumb trail. You know,
Yeah.
other people have, they've made it through this journey, and you can too.
Yeah.
Even if you don't feel like you can, or even as you say, I thought that was a really good point. Part of you doesn't want to.
It's scary.
Like,
It's terrifying.
part of you really doesn't want to. And for me, I'd been using alcohol off and on, but I'd never been off it long enough to be like, oh, well, now I've got my life together. It was more just like I managed to not drink for a few months. But I'd been doing that for long enough that I truly had no idea how I was going to function without, you know? So it's like, oh, great. Well, this thing is clouding my judgment. It's, you know, fucking destroying my mental health. It's, I mean, my physical health was also just rapidly declining. And even so, part of you still wants that, you know? And it's and part of you chooses that. It's a really fucked up thing, but it's so great to talk about it with someone who understands. And I know that there'll be a lot of people for whom that conversation
Yeah.
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. And then I've talked to so many, and it's like, what if I don't like that person? What if I don't know that person? How am I supposed to know who I am whenever this is what I know? But you can go through that journey, you know, to find out. I mean, in the end, like the older that you get, I think no matter what you're using or anything like that, I think age definitely is one of those things of you get older and you start realizing you've just been conditioned your whole life that this is who you are. And when you start going through that self-discovery, you're like, oh, I didn't know this was a choice, you know, and then you start, I am this person. And so it's just this really, I don't know, it's just a really beautiful and difficult journey for so many people, but for them to know that it is possible to come on the other side. And you know what? There'll be more
Absolutely.
struggles. There'll be more struggles, and you'll still be realizing who you are and what you like and what you don't like. And but letting go of that part of you, it is hard. I think it's one of the hardest things, and I think it's just a continuous struggle. Like, that person is not me anymore. But what if I don't know who I am? You won't until you move through.
Yeah.
You won't.
I think, I mean, that I think is a particularly, that's a particularly interesting point when it relates to musicians and entertainers, because you almost can't help, especially if you're on tour a lot, you almost can't help but start to become that person. And so you're already on the cusp of having an identity crisis because you have to be that person to just get through what needs to be done. And so that was the thing that I really struggled with. And it fortunately wasn't the case. In fact, I would say I'm more passionate about music now than ever. But I was truly terrified that once I took alcohol away and that, as you say, like that version, am I even gonna want to play music? You know, am I even going to be able to go on tour? Because at
Are
that
people gonna
point, of
like me
course,
still? Are they gonna like my
yeah,
music? Like, what if they
exactly.
meet
And
me and I'm way different?
yeah, and actually, that's something that I have come to come to enjoy, both through social media and meeting people in person, which is, you know, I mean, our parents were pretty big on manners and being polite, and so I try not to be rude with people until they start being rude to me, and then at that point, as far as I'm concerned, like fuck it, the deal's off. So I used to be a textbook people pleaser, and the reason I talk about this quite a lot in Amplify, is because I believe that that personality type is especially prone to mental health issues and addiction, because again, you are so hungry to please the people around you that you will neglect yourself, you will do things that act against your own self-interest, all kinds of things. I was absolutely like that. And to the casual observer, you just seem like a really nice person. Like, wow, what a great guy. But I believe, and I this is something I know a lot now. I believe there is a line, and acting like you think someone is awesome when they're being a fucking asshole doesn't make you a great guy. It makes you a pushover and, quite frankly, a bit of a liar. Like, just because I'll just speak from my personal experience. Just because someone supports your music does not give them the right to act like an asshole. And fortunately, most people are amazing. It's, you know, it's the whole statistics of life. Most people are great. Some people are not great. And I used to try to tell myself, like, you know, you put up with a lot of bullshit in the music business. And I'm not saying that it's just about us and our band, because I've seen a lot of other bands. I mean, I've seen behind the scenes of a lot of shit. And it's all there, you know? So I used to be someone who just tried to get along with everyone. Now I'm like, if you want to be my mate, I will be the fucking nicest person you have ever met. If you want to be a cunt, I'm going to be a cunt. Like, there is
Don't
no,
open that door. Don't open that door with
yeah, and it's not even like, man, I'm going to show them how self-empowered I am. It's just like, you just cannot go through life treating people that way and expect people to go along with it. So one of the things I enjoy about this version of myself is that I mean, I had a real fear that people wouldn't like me anymore. I did. And it was like, yeah, I'm not gonna be, you know, I'm not gonna be the guy who just rolls with whatever, you know? That was the way I always kind of prided myself on being someone who could just roll with whatever. Well, now I'm not going to be that guy. So who am I? And are people going to like who this guy actually is? And what I found now is actually I fucking like this guy. So If other people have a problem with me calling people out for being rude, then fuck them. I honestly do not care. And for so much of my life, I really did care. Like I did. If someone said something bad about us, I care. If someone said something bad about me behind my back and I found out about it, it really bothered me. It didn't matter if there were 100 people telling you you're great. One person says
Oh,
that you're an
hell yeah.
asshole.
It hurts.
One person says
Why?
that you're, yeah, one person says your band sucks or whatever it is.
Right.
That used to fucking eat me alive. And now, I mean, who gives a shit? And that's honestly, I could not have said that truthfully before. So it was almost like the part of me that had to die in order to get past that stage of my life, that funeral was fucking overdue. Like that person outstayed his welcome by about a decade. And part of what I love about Amplify and essentially the freedom that being open like this gives you is that I can talk to people about what self-empowerment actually means. Self-empowerment, as far as I'm concerned, is not going around being the best friend to everyone, no matter who that person is and how they behave. It's about being authentic. And there's a huge, huge difference there. So to me, it's like that authenticity. I just didn't feel like I had the confidence before, to be honest. And now it's almost impossible for me to be anything else.
But it's such a good place to be. I mean, I'll say, like, there's sometimes inner voices, those on occasions, that I call those weeds when we're teaching. They're little weeds that you have to pluck out of your garden. But when I'm doing teaching, I will teach that you have to be prepared to be a couple of things when you're going through your journey. You have to be prepared to lose things and people that you thought were going to be there because they love you for someone that you're actually not. Like, you've never actually let them in to see who you really are, to see if they can even like you. But you have to be prepared to be a villain in someone's story. Even if you're not like the traditional, I'm the bad guy. Like, you are going to be the bad guy as soon as you put a boundary down, no matter what it is, because people are used to you being a certain way. And then the moment that you do, they're like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? Why are you being a bitch? Or why are you being this? And it's like, I'm not. This is just what I'm requesting to be able to have this relationship. And if we can't have this, I'm actually trying to keep the relationship. But most people view that as, you're the villain and you've changed and now you're so different. How dare you be that way? But you have to be the villain and be okay with it sometimes.
I mean, I love that. And I have my own kind of version of that, which is I sort of like to see myself as being a bit of an anti-hero, which is that ultimately I believe that my message is good. But sometimes for me to give someone the positive message, I have to tell them to get fucked. So the idea of if before I was always trying to be the good guy, then that's like being the hero. Now I still have good intentions, and arguably I would say my intentions now are better than ever. But I'm not willing to pretend to be okay with everything. I'm not willing to be okay. I'm not, okay with people being rude, people being like hypercritical, super negative, crossing boundaries. Toxic behavior, all that stuff. I mean, at this point, I'm quite happy to be like, okay, now you got the anti-hero.
Here's the line, step back, go. Yeah. I really enjoy that. I enjoy that. So you talked a little bit about this, and I'm on a whole health journey myself because I do understand that, like, for me, my spirituality, my mental health, my physical health, all those things. Can you talk to me a little bit about your physical transformation and kind of a little bit more about your program that you have?
Around the time that I realized that I needed to cut alcohol out of my life and I needed to make some other changes too, I started thinking, well, what can I do instead? Because I knew enough, having seen other people go through it, I even knew enough from having studied at a university, like I couldn't just take these things away and live in a vacuum. There's no way that that was sustainable. So I was like, what can I do instead? And so I thought, right, at this point, we're actually still in lockdown in New Zealand. So I couldn't go to the gym, but you could go outside. And my parents lived really close to this big park. And I guess it's sort of a symbolic thing too. Like I just wanted to fucking get away from everything and go and run in the park. And so the first thing I started doing was running. And I'll qualify that by, again, if I just left it there, people would think that I went out and I ran like, Rocky when he's like running, it's like this
You ran.
amazing, like, yeah. But actually, I was really fucking unfit because I'd been taking horrible care of myself. So I would literally run for, I would try to run for the verse of one song. And then I would walk the rest of the way. And then when the next song started, I would run for the verse. And then I would walk. And then I started getting to the point where I could run for each verse. And so I would go run in the verse, walk in the chorus, run for the verse, walk for the chorus. And so I had to build up slowly to even just be able to go for a job. Like, this isn't high intensity shit. But I hadn't been looking after myself. And quite frankly, it showed. So I started getting into this. And as soon as I started doing it, even though, I mean, it sucked initially because it was hard. I wasn't conditioned to run. I still wasn't really feeling awesome about life. But I just sort of doggedly pushed myself into it. And as soon as I started doing it, I started feeling like I had something to work towards. And at the risk of dropping a sort of a cliche, it felt like I had something to live for. Like maybe my music career is a combination of frozen in ice and going up in flames, which is an interesting metaphor, but that's how it felt. It's like the life you knew is like stopped, and who knows if it's ever starting. And the impact of that is that your business is going up in flames because what business can afford to run without doing anything? So it felt good for me to have something to focus on, and it gave me something to focus on. And the fact that I sucked at running actually probably helped because I was like, okay, I've really got my work cut out for me here. So I started running somewhat, and then I built up to running more. And as I was doing that, I realized that, okay, so this is helping me to feel better. But if I really want to be serious about this kind of health kick, then I've got to look at what I'm eating. And so that led me to nutrition. There was always something that I'd been interested in, but I had a lot to learn. And like a lot of people, the key is applying the information to your life rather than just having like the book knowledge that makes it sound like you should be healthy, but then you might ask yourself, well, why aren't you doing it? So I was running and it was sucking, but at least I was making progress. Then I started shifting what I was eating and I really started looking at that. And that started to make a difference to how I felt. It helped with my running. It just helped me the rest of the time. And one of the things I noticed is that it really helped with my sort of biochemical balance and how I felt within myself. So I started to feel less and less depressed, basically. And it sort of started this positive domino effect where I then thought, okay, well, what else can I do? I'd always been interested in meditation and mindfulness, but kind of like working out or eating healthy, I suppose. They were just things I'd gone through like phases of doing, and then I fell way out of it for years, and then I'd go back to it for 2 weeks, and then I'd fall out of it for years. So in many ways, Amplify is the representation of all the stuff I'd been building up over the years, all of the good habits, but I hadn't had my shit together enough to actually apply them long term. And so I just started adding them all in one at a time, but not really as a plan, just as a like, oh wow, this actually seems to be helping. And I started to find that I felt that I could perceive reality a little more clearly. I started to feel more normal. So my perception of, to tie back into our conversation before about boundaries and becoming aware of which relationships, platonic or romantic, are healthy and which ones aren't. Before, when I was super depressed, super disempowered, drinking a lot, and I couldn't fucking tell you which way was up. Like I was not in a place to get the read on anything. As I started to feel better through exercise and nutrition and mindfulness, and I was consciously now using the mindset tools that I've learned in psychology, but again, hadn't been using. That's when I started to realize, like, okay, now I'm starting to see things for how they actually are. And that allowed me to then kind of hit phase two, which was what else in my life needs to change? And it was sort of like a relationship audit of people in my ecosystem, some of whom were a tremendous asset, and some of whom it was not helping. Like that's all I can say. It was just not pushing me in the direction that I needed to go. And so as I started to go down this path and I really started to believe in what I was doing, then I started talking to my friends about it, and I started to share the odd thing on social media. And that was when I started hearing from people. And it was my friend, Fraser Bailey, and he's also my sort of strength coach and my nutritionist. He was the one who said to me, "Man, I think you should start sharing more of your journey." Because I was sort of mentioning the odd thing, but I wasn't really going into the details. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't want to. But I thought, okay, well, this dude knows me really well, and I trust his judgment. So why don't I start sharing stuff a little more, and let's see what happens. And what I found is that the more that I shared, the more that I heard from people who were like, "Thank you so much for saying that. I've been dealing with, dot, dot, dot. Or I have a brother who's going through that." Or, I mean, just that it's almost like it instantly shattered that myth for me again, which is that I've been feeling really fucked up and dysfunctional, and I don't want to talk about it because then people will know that I'm fucked up and dysfunctional. They're all doing great. No, that's that great myth. And I realized that the more that I started to talk about things, people were openly coming to me and saying, "That was really helpful that you said that." And it was around that time that I started to realize that people were also very curious about like what I was doing and how I had gotten myself out of that hole. And that was really what started amplifying, is that I was like, okay, shit, there's actually like a need here. There is demand for people who want to take the fucking control of their own life back, whether that's from addiction and alcohol, whether that's from being in a cycle of being in toxic relationships, whether that's from having such poor health that their options in life are massively limited, whether that's from having such poor mental health that they feel completely trapped and isolated. All of these things, I was like, there is a massive need. And it's not even like there's a need out there in the universe and I'm going to go and find those people. It's like these people are knocking on my fucking door, and they're from my world. They're other musicians, and they're fans of rock music, and they're people from my subculture. And that to me was the other part that was kind of, that was when things finally clicked into place, when I thought, I can do this, but I can do it as me. So I can do it as a rock musician. You don't have to turn into a Ken doll to help people better themselves.
You can be your
And
authentic self and do
yeah,
exactly what you
exactly.
really want to do. And
Yeah.
that
And
creates a light and it just siphons like people away from other people to you.
yeah, I mean, I think one of the things I think was really interesting, I actually hadn't thought about it until now, so I want to thank you for
Yeah,
this. This is
of
like
course.
This is a full circle moment. But in many ways, there was like a total sense of completion in that for a long time I felt like being in the music business meant that I couldn't be myself. And when I started Amplify, I was being 100% myself because that was my world. So it was like the thing that I thought was preventing me from being me was the thing that allowed me to be me. And I don't know that I've ever actually made that connection until now. So thank
You're
you.
welcome. You're welcome. Well, I have absolutely enjoyed this, and I would love to have you on again and just dive deeper into all of it because I feel like we could talk for a very long time about all of it. I love to end the podcast always on this question. If someone you cared about came to you and they were struggling with something with their mental health, what is some words of wisdom that you might share with them to inspire them?
I would say just tell me about it. It's funny. Actually, as I said that, I was like, boom, that's an emotional trigger right there. Because I could say, look, man, I'm going to get you in the gym. We're going to stimulate all these positive endorphins, and then we're going to get you in the dialed in with your nutrition, and then I'm going to help you with this, and I'm going to help you with this. But actually, the first thing is just to bring down that fucking wall. And that's obviously what I felt I needed, which is why I thought to say that, because I didn't know you were going to ask me that question. It's why I thought to say it. And it's also why when I said it, that pushed an emotional button with me. So it's like, I would just say, tell me about it. Like, let's fucking talk. Because
Let
I
me hear
feel like,
you.
and that's why, yeah, because that to me is always step one, Step two, three, four, five, and so on. They can look different for different people, or often it's the same steps, but in a different order. But step one to me is always just let's talk, man. Let's lower the guard, take off the mask, and talk.
Like, let me hear you. Like, holding space to hear people aren't used to being heard anymore. They're used to having to fight to be heard. And even in their silence, they're still fighting to be heard without saying anything. And so when someone's holding space to hear someone, that's fucking amazing. I love that answer. I love that because it's so needed. Sometimes we just need to be heard, and that starts our journey. So. But I appreciate you so much. Thank you for being part of this movement that we're trying to create. And I look forward to all of your new music and just kind of partnering with you in the future on getting you back on and talking.
Thank you, Kitty. Yeah, I would love to sit and chat if I didn't have guitars to go and
Yeah.
record.
Hey, I'm not gonna
But
hold you.
I just
I
wanted
want
to
that
say,
music.
yeah, I know. So I'm gonna go and make it. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for having me on. And truly, I mean this. Thank you for everything that you're doing, and particularly, you and I live in the same world. So it's awesome, so awesome to see other people shining a light on this in our culture.
The Authentic Life with KL and Break the Silence are two healing missions aligning to support mental health, all wellness and recovery, offering hope and amplifying the light. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Authentic Life with KL, where we explore the powerful intersection of healing and music. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give a follow and share with your friends. You can find more information about The Authentic Life with KL and Kitty Lynn at kittylynn.com, KittyLynn.